Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Melvin G. Peoples, and I'm here tonight to teach what I believe is such a profound and wonderful lesson. Thank God for this opportunity, and we won't hesitate at all. We'll begin by laying the foundation of the topic of the message, and we'll get right into the lesson. Tonight, we're going to be talking about omni-blessedness and the full range of time, place, and circumstance. Omni-blessedness and the full range of time, place, and circumstance. When we look at the word omni, it comes from the Latin word ominous, and it actually means all or every. The word is generally used as a prefix added to the beginning of a word, and generally it modifies that word that it precedes. And I'll call omni tonight for the sake of convenience, the big O. The big O or ominous applies only to the true and the living God. And when we talk about the true and the living God, it's automatically implied that there are dead or false or imaginary gods. And we're not going to waste any time or energy tonight in this message trying to dispute them, because the only real power that they have is because of the satanic delusion and ignorance of the masses of people. Praise the Lord. If you have to build your God, if you have to carry him around, you have to prop him up, you can't leave home without him. It says a lot, and I think you get the picture. Satan is the God of this world. And of course, he's not the God of this world creatively, but influentially through his systems and his influence on the hearts and the minds of the people of the world. So let's talk about the true and the living God for a moment. Number one, he is omnipotent. There's that word omni again. He's omnipotent. That means that he has all power. And in Matthew 28 and 19, Jesus makes a statement that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Every source of power or base comes from the true and the living God. Every power source in this universe is subject to him. He is an omnipotent God because he navigates and manages even the affairs of the angelic host. And he's also omnipotent over the powers of mortal men, all of the world's government. He's omnicompetent. That is, he handles all of the affairs of our human experience. He is able to handle any situation. He has the authority or the legal capacity to act in all matters. It is very important that we do not overlook the deeply and profound implications of legal capacity. That is, being omnicompetent makes God have the legal right and authority. Whether it was Adam's failure in the Garden of Eden, or those who were under the law of Moses in the dispensation of the law, the Bible taught that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That was a legal declaration and could only be rectified through a legal settlement. And Christ was at once and for all times legal settlement which answered the judiciary mandate of a holy God. He does it legally. God does not usurp himself. The Bible says in Adam all died. And in Christ many are made righteous. So God is not only omnipotent, he's omnicompetent. He's also omniscient, that is, He occupies all space and time regarding knowledge. He's all-knowing. There is no haphazard. There's no haphazard decisions in God. He doesn't scratch his head and meditate on a solution. The writer of the book of Hebrews, and some believe it to be St. Paul, said that there's no creature hidden from his sight, and all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He's omniscient. Praise the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said, remember the former things of old. And he's speaking. He says, I am God, and there is none else. He says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stay. I will do all my pleasure. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows our thoughts are far off. Jesus told his disciples that even the hairs upon their heads were counted, letting us know that God doesn't miss anything. Every intricate detail over our lives, he is aware of, both good and evil. Hallelujah. Omnipresent. Every crack and crevice of the universe, God is there. Hallelujah. He inhabits all space in the universe that he has created. If God created the universe, he is bigger than the universe he has created. Solomon said, glory to God, as he was appealing to God concerning some promises that God had made to his father David regarding the throne of Israel. And he had promised to Solomon that his seed would reign. Hallelujah. But the Lord asks, will God indeed dwell on earth? Seeing that, behold, the heavens of heavens can't contain him. How much less this house that I have built, which is what David said. He recognized, amen, the omnipresence and the omnipotence of God. Hallelujah. There's no doors that can lock him out. There's no walls that can lock him in. We in the body of Christ must change our concept of God. We don't go to church to meet God. Hallelujah. So many of us believe that we're going to church to meet God because God dwells only in the house of God. Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Church of Jesus Christ didn't even have official buildings and places of worship until 250 to 300 years after Pentecost. They always gathered together with one accord in one place, and God was there. Wherever two or three come together in his name, he's there because he's omnipresent. He's omnidirectional. Being in or involving all directions, not just geographical dimension, but spiritual and philosophical. Many believers are quick to excommunicate God from the affairs of men and women who are the children of darkness. Hallelujah. But God speaks to all men. Praise the Lord. He made us as creatures to communicate with him. When he formed us of the dust of the ground and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul, we became God conscientious. And not just because we are covenant believers in Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized, are we the only ones that God communicates with, because he's omnidirectional. Hallelujah. They may not have a covenant relationship with God, but they have a conscientious relationship. Hallelujah. We had a conscience before we had the Holy Ghost, and God dealt with us by the Holy Ghost to our conscience. Hallelujah. We've said that God don't talk to sinners. I've heard it all. God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. Amen. All of this nonsense. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the moment that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. have the Holy Ghost, and if God could not speak to your conscience, how could you hear him when we were in a fallen state of sin? Hallelujah. He's omnidirectional. He was able to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. The psalmist David said, where shall I flee from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He said, if I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, he's not talking about the lake of fire. He's talking about that Hebrew word Sheol, which is the grave. If I make my bed in Sheol, hallelujah, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. He says, thy right hand shall hold me. He's omnidirectional. If we say that the darkness hides us from him, he said, that shines like the night, or the night shines like the day. And the darkness and the light are just alike unto God. Many of us, brothers and sisters, as covenant benefactors in Christ, we struggle with comprehending the full range of influence which God has in our lives. And because of this, we many times have a tendency to psychologically and mentally reduce our God to the limitations of our ability, our reason, and our logic. And this usually confines us to the limits of geography, the limitations of time and natural circumstance. For many brothers and sisters in Christ, the idea of being blessed is a circumstance. It's a situation. It's an event. It's an occasion. For many, the language is generally, we speak in a future tense. God is going to bless you. Or he's going to bless me. Or we speak in a past tense. God did bless me. Hallelujah. It becomes more of an episode. Because of this type of theological perspective, we ride a spiritual roller coaster of inconsistently. Mentally, we're talking ourselves and we're psychologically telling ourselves that we're in and out of blessings. We talk about missed blessings and not being blessed. And some even dare to entertain the idea of being cursed. That's why we're talking today about omnibesseness and the full range or spectrum of time, place, and circumstance. Hallelujah. Paul wrote a letter, brothers and sisters, to the church at Ephesus. Amen. And in his letter he says, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 14, he talks about, he says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When Christ does something, it is finished. It is complete. You can't add anything to it. You can't take it away. And Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he has blessed us. Past tense. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame. Before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not on probation, and it's not a license to sin, but it is to love. We're not earning a blessing. God has blessed us. Hallelujah. And it's important that we understand this, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. For he says, he has given us redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, where Yeah, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in us, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and they are in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. In whom also after you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest means it's a down payment. It's a down payment until the actual purchase possession. Hallelujah. Which is the redemption of our body. God has made a down payment with his blood until he receives the purchase possession, which is the redemption of our bodies in a future time. Hallelujah. And this was all done to the praise of his glories. Many brothers and sisters in Christ are stressed, depressed, and oppressed. Hallelujah. And the reason is because they live in spiritual limbo regarding the concept of blessed and being blessed and blessings. We often measure ourselves by ourselves using humanistic standards. Hallelujah. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. He said, because they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves are not wise. We have looked at others and decided who represents the physical standards of what blessed is really about. We're often guilty of looking at material and wealth assets and education and health. The new covenant blessedness is built on none of these foundations. But praise the Lord, it does not exclude them. We often look at local standards of the church community and we set up an idolatrous standard of blessedness. New covenant blessedness is not about what you have, but who you are. If all we are focused on is our wealth and our health and our prosperity, we are in spiritual kindergarten, brothers and sisters. I want to borrow from an old covenant patriarch who exemplified omnibusinessness and the full spectrum of time, place, and circumstance. You see, much of the blessedness that we talk about is often related to a circumstance or a time or an event or an occasion. But God is about omni-blessedness. Hallelujah. Those omni-blessedness. He's a God that, amen, is omnipotent, as we said. He's omnicompetent. Hallelujah. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnidirectional. And the only thing that God can do can be something that is done from an omni perspective, because he is all. He is the fullness of all. Hallelujah. But sometimes we lose focus, and because there are times all of us brothers and sisters in Christ, we go through trials and various tribulations and hardships in life. There are times when you haven't always had the wealth that you have today. And there were years and seasons in your life when you were struggling, perhaps. There were times when you had to work extra hard to make ends meet. And if we're not careful, we will rob that season of its blessed status, because somebody told us in the body of Christ that as a believer, we should not suffer anything. We shouldn't have a lack. We should always have money. They told us that. It's out there. That message is in the airwaves. But if you use those as standards, you're going to be on a spiritual roller coaster. Praise the Lord. The full range of God is that he's given us a status that does not change.
blessed. And I'm blessed when I get healed. If I have no money, I'm blessed. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he always provides for us according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I'm having struggles with the challenges of life, I'm still blessed. Because the blessedness of God, the omnibessedness of God, it transcends every circumstance and deliver trial, tribulation that we may experience as human beings. He does not change. If he said you're blessed under every circumstance. He said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. He told his children, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And wherever you are, no matter what your circumstance is, if God is with you, you're blessed. He's not a man that he should lie, because he said, I'll never leave you. Your wife might leave you. Your husband may leave you. Your children may leave you. Your church members may leave you. But he said, I will never. And he's not a liar. I will never leave thee. Nor will I forsake thee, he has said. Hallelujah. I'm not blessing this. The full spectrum of time, place, and circumstance. God's blessings to us does not change because of the time. It doesn't end because of the place. It can't be hindered because of the circumstance, because it is a full range status. How many brothers and sisters over the years have I encountered that someone even made them think that they were cursed? They were cursed. It's an insult to the finished work of Calvary to suggest that a born-again, water-baptized, Holy Ghost-filled, blood-washed child of God is cursed. It's an insult to the divine integrity of Christ's own Calvary. And we must be careful what we say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to talk about a character in the Old Covenant this morning, who exemplifies an example of omnibessedness in the full spectrum of time, place, and circumstance. We want to talk about Joseph. Joseph, many of us are familiar with the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was a brother among few who had been blessed by God with a dream. And in his dream, he saw his brothers bowing to him. Now, there's another lesson in this story about Joseph. We're not going to talk much about it, but we'll hit at it. And the lesson to be learned in part from this story, there are times, brothers and sisters, when it's best to keep things confidential or keep them under your spiritual hat when God is dealing with you. Praise the Lord. Everything that God gives you is not open for public sharing unless he gives you the permission to do so. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to keep silence. He said there's a time to speak. But of course, this matter with Joseph was a God matter. And we understand that Joseph was a young man, and knowing how humanity is, there was a possibility in Joseph that there was a measure of pride that God had given him this dream and this vision concerning his future. But of course, the Holy Ghost in these passages in Genesis are not necessarily dealing with the issue of Joseph's pride and the issue of Joseph perhaps needing to keep those matters confidential. We're not dealing with that this morning. Praise the Lord. But the idea was that God was going to show him great favor for the purpose of his covenant people, and specifically in the life of this servant Joseph. You see, the body of Christ is a collective body. We are collectively blessed. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. But because of jealousy, Joseph's brothers, once they heard the dreams, they conspired to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. But Reuben, attempting to rescue him from the plot, suggested that they would throw him in a pit with the intentions that maybe at some point he would go back and restore him to his father. But the plot changed as Judah suggested they sell him to the Ishmaelites. And so the Midianite traders passed by and they pulled him out of the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. In that case, he was a type of Jesus because Jesus was sold, amen, for silver as well. But what happened was Joseph was taken down into Egypt and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, brought him from the Ishmaelites there. But the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And his masters also saw that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And the Bible says that Joseph found grace in the sight of his master, and he served him. He made him an overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. You see, the Bible says the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Joseph was a blessed man. He's sold into slavery. He's in an inconvenient situation, but because he's a blessed man, wherever he goes, a blessing follows. The circumstances under which he was sold was not blessed. It was an evil plot. But when you are blessed of God, when you have a blessed status, when you are I'm not blessed, blessings will follow you in every circumstance, situation, every geographical location, every time and every space that you inhabit. That's why we're talking about I'm not blessedness. And the full spectrum of time and place and circumstance. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed all that was in that house and all that was in that field because of Joseph. He blessed an Egyptian's home, Potiphar. Hallelujah. We are blessed, and everywhere we go, brothers and sisters, we should change the spiritual atmosphere because we are blessed. We bring a blessing. When I step on a plane to fly, I'm blessed, and everybody that's riding with me is blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Young people, when you go into a classroom and you are blood washed, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled child of God, you are blessed and you bring a blessing to that classroom. If you are blessed and you're the only one in your family saved, you bring a blessing to your family. Hallelujah. You see, in Christ, blessed is a status shared by all believers. It is not predicated on a humanistic system of rating such as health, wealth, material, or prosperity in this world, but it is a divinely imputed status from the true and the living God. It transcends even the benefits of this world. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Having a blessed status, there are some things God has for us which we cannot even experience in our natural life. My blessed status is not connected to anything I have or do not have. For many brothers and sisters in Christ, the only blessed they know is how much money they have, the car they drive, and the house they live in, the quality of their attire. These temporal things change at any time, brothers and sisters. But the blessed status will not. Circumstances may change, but blessed doesn't. Joseph was blessed when his brothers threw him in the pit. He was blessed when they sold him into slavery. He was blessed in Potiphar's house. He was blessed when Potiphar's wife lied on him. And he was blessed in prison. What am I saying? His circumstance changed, but his blessed status did not change. We are blessed when we are sick. We are blessed when we are well. We are blessed when we are in poverty. We are blessed when we get wealth. We are blessed when we lose. We are blessed when we're living. We are blessed when we die. We have already passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Blessings and blessed status before God is not some carrot on a stick dangling before us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It transcends, as I said, it transcends this life. If in this life only I got hope in Christ, we above all men are most miserable. The apostle would make a statement of this nature, inspired by God because of the great sufferings and things that he experienced. And he observed it in many Christians in the world. But in all things, brothers and sisters, we in the body of Christ, we're blessed. It's not about what you have. It's a who you are. You see, blessed is not a what. And many times we get sidetracked with that because for many, blessed is a what. But in God, it's a who. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There were churches in Asia Minor that the Apostle John, when he was out on the Isle of Patmos, he wrote to. There was a church, the Church of Smyrna. And the word Smyrna, the root word of the word Smyrna, the Church of Smyrna, was myrrh. And myrrh was an ointment that was associated with death. And these people were suffering. And the writer said to them, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last. That's Jesus, who was dead and came to life. He says, I know your works. They were suffering. He said, I see everything that's going on with you. Many times, brothers and sisters, when we are suffering, we sometimes feel like God don't love us and God don't care. And the devil is beating up on us pretty bad. And we feel like he's distant. We can't feel that unction, as we call it, that herky-jerkiness. And sometimes the heaviness of our spirit has us burdened. But the Lord tells John on the Isle of Patmos to write to these brothers and sisters at Smyrna and let them know. He says, I know what you're going through. I know your works. He says, I know your tribulation, your trials, the things you're going through, your pain, your suffering. And he also says, I know your poverty. Here it is. One of the seven churches of Asia Minor, the body of Christ, Holy Ghost filled people who love the Lord, they are going through great tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but some great tribulation. He said, I see it. I see your poverty. He does not say, I'm about to send you some wealth. I'm about to send you some deliverance. He says to them, but you are rich. Hallelujah. He says to a suffering church, a persecuted church, a church in pain, a church in poverty, he says, you are rich. Brothers and sisters, we must embrace the concept. Hallelujah. He says you're rich. Their omniblessedness transcended the spectrum, the full range of time, place, and circumstance. Because God said it did. You can't look at your bank account and decide whether or not you're blessed. Because you can be a multimillionaire and have misery in your life, filled with the Holy Ghost and miserable. And as another brother or sister sitting across the church can barely afford a pair of shoes, and he got the joy of the Lord, the gifts of the Spirit, the anticipation of an eternity with God. I'm not saying, amen, that the brother and sister that has the wealth and health and the prosperity are not blessed, because they are, because our blessedness runs the full spectrum. Our blessedness runs the full range and spectrum, amen, of what God has. Hallelujah. It's a full range. It transcends time. It transcends the place or the location, as in the case of these brothers and sisters who are on the Isle of Patmos or in Asia Minor. And John, of course, was on the Isle of Patmos. He was suffering. John was put there on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Because he was a spiritual criminal. They put him there. They accuse him, if you have read the history, they accuse him of being a witch, because history says they attempted to boil him in hot oil and he would not die because God had a purpose for him. So they banished him to the Isle of Patmos, to a place of solitude where God could commune with him and give him the revelation to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Oh, hallelujah. You can shout right now. But he was blessed. Hallelujah. He was blessed because he understood the full range of the blessedness of God. He was blessed and he was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, because he knew that his blessed status would transcend time. The spectrum of time, the spectrum of place, and the spectrum of circumstance. Hallelujah. These brothers and sisters, hallelujah, of the church of Smyrna. The Lord didn't promise that he was sending them bail money. The Patmos Isle was a penal colony. It was a place for prisoners. He wasn't promising them, I'm coming to get you out of there. His message for them is to be faithful. And it's the same to us. Be thou faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. Because you're blessed. Hallelujah. Joseph was blessed. It didn't make any difference what the enemy did. God had already spoken a word over him. In the process of time and some healing, God was able to reunite Joseph with his brethren. But God had sent him down to make a way for them for a famine that was to come in the future. Joseph rose to the second highest position in that land. Now, it would have been easy for some spiritual genius to look at Joseph's situation and say he was cursed. But you never curse, brothers and sisters, when you got a God who promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
If we don't remember anything else, we ought to remember that. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God is not a man that he should lie. My blessing ain't based upon how many zeros I got in my income. My blessed status, and neither is yours, based on your area code. It's not based on your ability to buy a certain type of automobile. You may be riding a bicycle. You may be catching buses. It doesn't change. It's not to say that your future may not have some of those wealthy trinkets assigned to it. But if by chance it doesn't happen, you're still blessed because we have a kingdom whose builder and maker is with God. We have a place that is eternal in the heavens. And at some point, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Ah, glory. But the promises that God has for us, just hold out. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep fighting the good faith of a good fight of faith. Continue to endure sound doctrine. Continue to look up because your redemption draws nigh. No matter what you get in this world is set for corruption, is set for disaster, is set for judgment, it's temporal. Hallelujah. I'm blessed tonight. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, you are omni-blessed. And time, amen, and place and circumstance will not hinder that blessedness. That's what omni-blessing it is. It is the full spectrum of time, place, and circumstance, no matter what the enemy does. No matter what comes your way. That status does not change. My brothers and sisters, hold on. Don't give up. Continue to fight the good fight of faith. I hope you have enjoyed this message. God bless you. I love you very much. Thank you. I just stopped the recording when I got to the